Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. Our back in our Father's Word. You know, we ask a word of wisdom from our Father. In this book of Ezekiel, God strengthens us. That's what the word Ezekiel means, translated. And our Father has shown us in this 21st chapter, hey, I'm going to provide two ways. There is a conspiracy. And what ultimately the moral of it is, you can choose the false Christ, or you can choose the true Christ. Your choice, your pick. And the way you tell the difference is by being familiar with our Father's Word. And He lets us know in this verse 24, 25, and 26, He's going to take the crown away from Zedekiah. And then the crown, of course, was always the coronation took place over Jacob's pillar, that's to say the stone of destiny. And it still happens to this day. And we learned in the verse that we stopped at that it would be overturned, overturned, and overturned. And then he would return whose crown it truly was, that's to say the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, the stone was taken from Jerusalem to Scotland, that's one overturn, and then from Scotland to England, that's two times it was overturned, and then in a short time, about 8 or 10 years ago, the date escapes me at the moment, but it went from England, the city of Scone in Scotland demanded, because it was theirs, they had the rightful ownership, it was returned again from England to Scotland. That's three times. So therefore, naturally, now it's time for he to return who truly the crown belongs to. Therefore, that's the choice. You wait for him and receive the true Lord Jesus Christ, or you can take this fake, the King of Babylon of the New Testament, Book of Revelation. You want to jump in his lap? Well, he'll be here. He comes at the sixth trump. The true Christ, overturned, 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 doesn't return until the seventh trump. A child can count. You want to make sure you wait till the seventh trump. What major event transpires that lets us know the seventh trump has sounded? We're changed from flesh into spiritual bodies, all of us, the good, bad, and the ugly. And so it is. So again, the conspiracy is there. There are two ways appointed. It's up to you. Your choice. We pick it up then again in verse 20, chapter 21. Let's pick it up with verse 28 and let's go with it. That word of wisdom from our Father, verse 28 reads, "And thou, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God concerning the Ammonites and concerning their reproach. Even say thou, the sword is drawn for the slaughter, it is furbished to consume because of the glittering." That is to say, it's flashing, it's lightning. And our Father, if he chooses, even Satan can snap his fingers and lightning come from heaven, as the 13th chapter of Revelation stipulates in the manuscripts. So, again, a lot going on, but for God's elect, he gives us power over all of our enemies. See that you're not taken in. Verse 29. "Whilst they see vanity unto thee, whilst they divine a lie, false teaching, false prophets, come saying they're Christian preachers, they don't teach the truth, unto thee, to bring thee upon the necks of them that are slain of the wicked," that's to say to die a spiritual death, that's to say to lose your salvation, "whose day is come when their iniquity shall have an end." In other words, false prophets are going to find that there is an end. God will put a stop to it. Why? He's going to send back the one that crown rightly belongs to. Emmanuel, God with us. And it's going to happen. What he's saying here, I'm going to allow them, that's to say their prophets, their preachers, their teachers, to teach all kinds of lies. like one of the big ones is that you don't have to study God's word. You're going to be gone when all this happens. That's a fiction. It's not God's word. Don't be drawn in by it. Verse 30. Shall I cause it to return into his sheath? You think I'm going to put that sword away? I will judge thee in the place where thou wast created, in the land of thy nativity. In other words, how can you say that? That's where Satan, the sword. Well, what is this sword? Have you so soon forgotten? It's Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. But in the prophetic sense, it's the king of Babylon of the end times, which is none other than Satan, standing in the holy place, as it is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, showing the world that he is God. Do you think, God says, do you think I'm going to change my mind and not let him do that? That is my sword. It's to check out which road you have taken. I've given you two ways. Which one did you choose? To wait for the true Christ, or can lying divinations, false teaching, and false prophets cause you to worship the false one? It's up to you. You see, when we speak of bloodletting, we're speaking here in divination is false teaching, meaning you lose your soul. And that's a heavy trip. You do not want to be involved with that. What God is saying, I'm not about to put it away at this time. In other words, the king of Babylon is coming. And he's going to check people out. Let's go with the next verse, please. Verse 31. And I will pour out mine indignation upon thee. I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath, and deliver thee into the hand of brutish men, Kenites to be exact, the little servants of that false Messiah, and skillful to destroy, to deceive, to lead astray, to take over, to work behind the scenes, whereby many are not sharp enough to even know what's happening. Our Father allows it. But then, did he not warn us so that you're prepared? Of course he did. So see that you are not taken in by it. He couldn't make it any plainer. I'm giving you a choice. Learn the key of David and know the true Christ from the false. But you do the picking and you live with it. He says, I'm not changing my mind. He is coming first. That is my sword. It's to check you out. Have you read the word? Are you forewarned, or are you listening to a bunch of yo-yos? Verse 32, thou shalt be for fuel to the fire. Thy blood shall be in the midst of the land. Thou shalt be no more remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken it, sealed it, signed it, delivered it. That's it. In other words, when that time comes, I'm going to have them suffer for their own conduct. Why? They picked the wrong way. Well, God allows that. He allows you to make the choice. Do you know what he wants from you? He wants you to love him. And if you love him, you cannot help but take the warning. You cannot help but understand there are deceivers coming that are going to try to pull you away from your own Father, your Heavenly Father. Are you going to listen to them? I don't know. How intelligent are you? Can you be had? Because there will certainly be some experts out there trying for it. You want to remember, stay in the Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Your Father will lead you. He will guide you. He will embrace you. He will always protect you. And he has given us power over all of our enemies. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. All you have to do is exercise it, okay? That's it. So here we kind of got a chapter coming up of slag. That's where you separate silver from dirt. And he's going to separate those that do have the truth, his elect, from all others. That's what basically the moral to this chapter will be. Chapter 22, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 2, Now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge? Wilt thou judge the bloody city? Jerusalem, of course. Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. Now, there's only one abomination there that you want to be concerned about truly, I mean foremost in your mind in this generation. That is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet and reminded by Jesus Christ himself again, your own mind, in Mark chapter 13, in Matthew 24, that when you see the abominable one standing in Jerusalem claiming to be God, that's it. That's when the false one appears. It won't be long after that, 5 months to be exact, excuse me, that the true Christ will return. So it is important. Well, how could you be sure of all? Because it's written. Have you read it? You should have. It's the letter of love that God has sent to you to know and to understand. And you want to be sure that you understand the abomination of desolation. The prime root of it is this. It's Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And it goes like this. In the middle of the week, that means the 7-year period, final years, but that's been shortened to a 5-month period, the abominable one will come in on the wings of the desolator. The desolator is Satan. That's one of his names. Daily communion, that is to say, our taking communion to the Lord Jesus Christ will cease. Why? They're going to start taking communion to Satan, thinking he is Christ. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Talk about an abomination. That is the abominable thing of all abominations. We don't find him tempting. We find him to be an abomination. Verse 3. Then say thou, thus saith the Lord God, the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. They shed blood in the midst of it. Do you know what happened on Calvary? You know what they did upon Calvary? They crucified the Lord Jesus Christ and shed his blood there. The blood that would be their downfall. As it is written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, Christ came to this earth to die on the cross, whereby in so doing he could destroy death, which is to say, the devil. Verse 4, thou art become guilty in the blood that thou hast shed, and thou and hast defiled thyself in thine idols, which thou hast made, and thou hast caused thy days to draw near, your days of doom, and art come even unto thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen, and a mocking to all countries. The nations of the world are going to look down upon them. How foolish could they be? Verse 5. Those that be near, and those that be far from thee, shall mock thee, which are infamous, polluted, and much vexed. I mean, showing confusion. Well, why are they showing confusion? Babylon, the king of Babylon there. They don't know up from down, meaning they think he's the true Christ. Why? Because that's who he claims to be. That's why he's called in the Greek tongue instead of Jesus, instead of Christ, because he's playing that role. He always wanted it. He wanted to be the one on the mercy seat. Boy, is he going to have a go at it when Michael boots him from heaven and he has that short run. There's two ways to choose. There is a controversy. Which side do you take? The side of your heavenly Father, or are you going to be beguiled? That's up to you. Verse 6, behold, the princes of Israel, that's Zedekiah and his sons, every one were in thee to their power to shed blood. It seems like our leaders were right with the conspiracy. 7. In thee have they set light by father and mother, and in the midst of thee have they dwelt by oppression with the stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Why the father and the widow? Well, false teaching causes a lot of widows in a hurry. It separates you from the true husband, the wedding coming to be, that is to say, with the true Christ. And orphans or the fatherless or the orphans, the people that are truly of God's elect, not necessarily elect, but the offspring, they forget this is all peoples. God created all souls. And when they don't know the true father from the fake, then they become orphaned. And so it is. In other words, not God's children, but by their own choice. Again, he gave you two ways. Which one are you going to choose? Because what he's building up to here, pretty soon that cleansing fire is going to let the silver come to the center of the forge, and the slag is slung out. Which way do you choose? Verse 8 to continue. Thou hast despised mine holy things, and hast profaned my Sabbaths. Now, again, who's the high Sabbath? Christ is. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Christ became our Passover. Passover is the high day of Christianity. It comes 15 days after the day of the spring equinox. Every year. It falls on different days of the week. But that is the high Sabbath of Christianity. In other words, they even despise the true Christ. And how they love the fake, because they're deceived. Friend, you've been given two ways. Make sure you choose the right way. Don't go. It's so simple a child can understand. Don't fall off at the sixth trump while you're still in a flesh body. Wait until the seventh trump when you're spiritually changed and the true Christ returns. Honor his rest. That's what Sabbath means. Verse 9. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood. False teachers. But he said he was a Christian teacher. Doesn't matter. If it's false, it's false. Doesn't matter what he says or calls himself. And in thee they eat upon the mountains in the midst of thee. They commit lewdness. In other words, they're worshiping out here in the high places, calling it a church. But look what they're doing. Verse 10, in thee have they discovered their father's nakedness. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. 11, and one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife. And another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law. And another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In other words, what is uncovering your father's nakedness? Backing up on these things just a little bit. It is, as you will read in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11, to lie with your mother. Okay. Now, this was the sin of Ham with uncovering his father's nakedness, and Canaan was the offspring thereof of an incestuous affair. In other words, what God is saying, you're all so confused in Babel and nonsense and false teaching that you don't know who you are, which way you're headed, or where you came from. And you know something? A lot of people could never trace themselves back past one generation when the house of Israel goes back many, many generations. And our Heavenly Father has always been the Father thereof. Don't forget Him. Don't choose the wrong path. There is a conspiracy. The choice is yours. Verse 12 to continue. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. I mean, that is paid murder. Thou hast taken usury and increased. You charge your own brother usury. And thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion. You rip them off right and left. And hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. You forget to do what's right. And so it is. So you want to remember, it isn't the true Christ that first comes to Jerusalem. And you're supposed to watch Jerusalem. God has let you know the false Christ, King of Babylon, comes there first. And all these things follow. There's no principle. There's no discipline. There is false teaching. And Satan himself at the throne. And you can imagine what kind of a mess, confusion that brings forth. And all the time singing, holy, holy, holy. And holy Joes get it on. But this is the product thereof. 13, behold, therefore I have smitten mine hand at thy dishonest gain, which thou hast made. And at thy blood, which hath been in the midst of thee. If God smites his hand at dishonest gain, do you think you're going to be able to keep it? The answer, of course, is no. Well, God sees. You think he doesn't know? And he's going to see that there is a reckoning. And it won't be in heaven. It'll be today. Our Father's in control. And he stays in control. We go with the next verse, 14. Can thine heart endure? Think you can handle this? Or can thine hands be strong? Well, Ezekiel strengthens, God strengthens. Which God do you follow? Which path do you choose? In the days that I shall deal with thee, question, I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. In other words, you can count on it. This is the end. It's going to happen. And are your hands going to be strong? Well, if you let Ezekiel come to pass, if you read it, if you understand it, if you love the Word of God, God will strengthen you. Your hands will be strong. You will have the truth and you will not be deceived. Regardless of what kind of ratchet jaw comes along spewing Holy Joe information, that doesn't make it God's Word. You want to always check it out in God's Word. You're intelligent, and you know that all wisdom comes from God anyway, so wise up and get into God's Word. Verse 15, and I will scatter thee among the heathen, and disperse thee in the countries, and will consume thy filthiness out of you. The old way is going to end, and I'm about ready to clean house. 16, and thou shalt take thine inheritance in thyself, in the sight of the heathen, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Do you know what your inheritance is? Have you claimed it? Well, I didn't know I had one. Well, you're in bad shape then. Your inheritance is the love of your Father, and our Father owns everything. You don't have to shortchange somebody. You don't have to take advantage of somebody. All you have to do is love the Father and be blessed by Him. 17, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, 18, son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. I can't get the real thing. Now, naturally, God is using an analogy here. And if you don't understand, you know, in the furnace, it is lower in the center. And when the heat is put to it, and that's God's wrath, is what it symbolizes, then it melts everything in that furnace and it turns. And the slag goes to the outside because it's lighter. And it is cast off. And slag is worthless. It's fit for nothing. And so are the people that find themselves empty of inheritance, unskilled in serving the living God, and basically worthless. They are in God's eyes. That's what he's saying here. You don't want to choose the wrong path. Silver, on the other hand, the true, flows to the center of that furnace, and it is the pure thing. So are the hearts of those that truly love the living God. And they know that Satan can't harm them. They know that Christ, when he was here at the first advent, gave us power over Satan and all our enemies. We have nothing to fear. That even in the center of the furnace of God's fury, we have nothing to worry about. Why? He loves us. So he's not going to hurt us. But, oh boy, is he going to get rid of the slag. Worthless. 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, worthless. Behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. At that time, why? Well, because Satan's going to be there, and that's where you would belong. 20, that's to say the king of Babylon at the end times, book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 20. As they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it, to melt it, so will I gather you in mine anger and my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. I'm going to absolutely put that fire to you, and your deeds are going to be tested as by fire. Why? Because God's a consuming fire. In the spiritual sense is what we're talking here. And I don't know, how do your deeds stack up? Are they dirt? Are they brass? Are they tin? Or are they silver? Loving our Heavenly Father and serving Him. That's silver. That's what He wants. Choosing the right path on the right, not the left. That's silver. Verse 21, yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in the midst thereof. That's the wrath of God in the vials poured out. And many are going to be tested as by fire. In the New Testament, over and over, it will state that your deeds are going to be tested as by fire. If they're wood, you're in a heap of hurt. Because wood burns pretty quick. It's gone. 22. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, the center, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. In other words, the real thing will stay there. The slag is gone. It will absolutely be done away with. Our Father loves His children. You might say, well, how could that be? Well, you hear me use this quite often. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. It did not hurt them one iota. Neither does God's, the consuming fire. It's a different, it's the Holy Spirit doing away with the rudiments of this world. Rudiments or wickedness and evilness cannot stand in front of Him. It burns them. But God's true servants, the silver, has none effect other than the love and the warmth and that He brings forth to His children. 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, 24, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, not rained upon in the day of indignation. Do you know what that rain is? It is the moderate rain and the latter day rain. They're not going to get it. Why? Because they won't study. They won't choose the right road, and that's the Word of God to understand what God foretells us everything. This is how it's going to happen. This is why, just as sure as God wrote Psalms 22, that gives the very deeds of what happened at the foot of the cross and on the cross, 1,000 years before the fact, came to pass exactly as it's written, this is exactly how the end is going to come to pass. So you better mark it well, and you better know and understand, because you want to be in the right place. What is the land? The land is Jerusalem. Back in the 16th chapter, do you remember that God made an eternal covenant with that geographical location to establish his own kingdom? Do you not understand that that's why Satan wants to set his kingdom up there? He's a copier. And in Ezekiel chapter 28, we know and see that to be a fact. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, we see it to be a fact. He picks Jerusalem. That's why it's unclean at this time. Because none other than Satan himself stands there, deceiving your relatives in the very land that is blessed, the barometer of the world, letting you know what time it is. 25, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion, raving the prey. They have devoured souls, misled them, lied to them. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. And so it is. Widows, because it pulls them away from the living God. And they are widowed because of false teaching and because of lies. There's a conspiracy. There are two ways. Which way are you going to choose? Nobody's going to force you. God wants you to make that decision all on your own, because you will pay for the outcome thereof. And one is a blessing, the silver, and on the left, you've got the dross. It's your choice. You think about it. Don't miss the next lecture. All right, bless your hearts. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Epistles of John, three letters written by the Apostle John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. The tenderness of John's writings is marked by the number of times he begins the exhortations and warnings with, "My little children," or "little children." In fact, "little children" is written 7 times in the first epistle alone. The contents of the first epistle are practical teaching in the light of the love of God. God is life, is light, is truth, is righteous, is love. And we have fellowship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. The tenderness and love of John's writing continues in the second epistle as he encourages the elect lady and her children to love one another. He also writes, "This is love, that we walk after his commandments." After these words of encouragement, John warns us that there are many deceivers entered into the world and explains how to identify these deceivers. Don't miss this opportunity to study the epistles of John with Pastor Arnold Murray.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, share it. Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination or organization. We don't judge people, and you shouldn't. The roadmap to picking the right road, the road signs, are God's Word. And if you will read those road signs, picking the right path, you'll always be just fine. Father lets you have that gift of spiritual discernment, knowing you're right. That's how you read, and that's how you know. Okay. So let our Father use you, and you have the right to spiritually discern, but do not judge. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. Got a prayer request? Don't need the number. We can do away with it. Don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. Do you know something? He loves you. He may not love what you do all the time, but he does love you. What does he want in return? He wants your love back. He wants you to love him. That's the most important thing in the world to him, is that you love him, appreciate him. And that brings forth his blessings to you. So be blessed by loving him. Won't you do that, Father? Around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. touch. In Yeshua's precious name, thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, we're going to go with Blanche from Virginia. What is the name and how do you spell the symbol that means the start of a new paragraph? It is in the King James. You will have the pilcrow. At the beginning, anytime a new subject is broached or comes forth, there is a pilcrow, like kind of like a reverse P. And the correct spelling of it is P-I-L-C-R-O-W, pilcrow. That's what the symbol is. You have it in your any King James version, basically, okay? Sandy from Ohio. I have a question for you, Pastor Murray. Did Jesus spend 3 days in the grave? Yes, he did. 3.5, to be exact. He was, you know, the day ended at sundown. He was crucified on a Wednesday. And he was the Passover lamb, which would have been 15 days after the spring equinox. On that particular year, it fell on Wednesday. And he was crucified on a Wednesday, but he had to be removed from the cross before the sun went down. And he was placed in the tomb at sundown on Wednesday, which began Thursday. Okay. In other words, sundown Wednesday by that calendar was Thursday. So, and then sundown on Thursday began Friday. That's 2 days. And sundown on Friday began Saturday is 3 days. And sometime after sundown on Saturday, somewhere in that night, he resurrected. Okay. So he was a full 3.5 days in that tomb. And then nothing could hold him. He defeated death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? And so it is. Your companion Bibles has an appendix. The number of it escapes me at the moment, but it almost gives you an hour-by-hour report of those 3.5 days. Doris from Georgia, can you please tell me where which one happened first? You said the spiritual body that was in the first earth age came through the bag of waters from the woman, and God made all the races on the sixth day. Did the sixth day creation happen before the spiritual bodies were born? Now, that we were spiritual in the first earth age, we're flesh in this earth age. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, it grieved God, he had now made man flesh also. Okay? Did the spiritual bodies have to wait until the six-day creation? No. This was God's order of things. First of all, what does it mean, bag of waters? It means born from a woman's womb. There was no birth in the first earth age. None whatsoever. The sixth day of this earth age, God created all the races from the bag of water. He created them, and then after that, they would come through the bag of waters. And so it would be on the eighth day, he created Eth Ha'adam, the one through whom Christ would come. Now, what does this mean? Why is it so important? It was God's plan that every soul come through the bag of waters. Well, what was the sin against that? To fall from heaven without being born of woman, knowing all the things that happened before, and seduce woman, whereby Geber were born, as it is written in Genesis chapter 6. Or if you read the book of Jude, the sin of those already in chains for destruction, already judged, the fallen angels, because they left their place of habitation rather than being born of the bag of waters, as John chapter 3 so stipulates. John from New York, do all writers of the Bible go to heaven? Well, how would I know? Because I'm not the judge, and I'm not supposed to judge. Our Father is the judge. Now, we know that if God so saw fit to use them, then most likely most of them would, after Christ went to paradise and preached, immediately after coming, while still in the tomb, so to speak. And so it was, and many of them were freed. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Steve from Missouri, when you die and your flesh goes back to dust, does your soul go directly to heaven, and is it asleep or aware of where it is, or do you have to wait for judgment day to see God and be aware of what is going on? No, God is the God of the living, not the dead. They're all living, and they're all very aware. Jesus was good enough to us that he wrote in Luke chapter 16 concerning paradise, that it is split with a gulf in between, and those that don't make it are on one side, and those that did make it are on the other side. And naturally, they will. He could see Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, meaning Abraham hugged him. So naturally, he could see the altar of God. That's where it was. Richard from Ohio. What is a burnt offering? Also, do food sacrifices still happen today? Absolutely not. They're not supposed to. Why? Christ's body was offered for one and all times. He is the bread of life. A burnt offering was before the crucifixion. God took away the burnt offering. And in Daniel, this gives you a specific time period concerning the days of Daniel when the daily offering was taken away, the daily oblation, same thing. But it was taken away because Christ became the offering for one and all times. Read Hebrews chapter 10. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me in the Old Testament. Instead of blood of goats and bulls and so forth, this one, Christ, offered his body for one and all times. So it is sacrilegious, it is blasphemy, and it is against God and a terrible sin to feel you've got to offer some kind of blood or something else when Christ died on the cross for us. Don from Virginia. Does God still allow Satan to persecute people like he did Job to test him? Absolutely. That's what an evil spirit is. That's what especially a lunar spirit, lunatic. For every negative, there is a positive. God allows the Holy Spirit to enter you when you ask, when you seek, and when you work for it. He will come to you. But if you are wicked, then that evil spirit of Satan will come to you also and even take you over if you're not careful. And it isn't only Satan's evil spirit, all of his little fallen angels, legions of them. Those evil spirits can. Now, I don't say that to frighten somebody. There's not one behind every bush, and you don't have to worry anyway, because as I forementioned in today's lecture, Christ gave us power over all of our enemies in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, whereby all you have to do is order them out of your life in the name of Jesus Christ. They have to go. They have to be afraid of you. So, it is a test. Which road you take? There is a conspiracy, and that's part of it. Mike from Washington. Were the tribes of Israel the first tribes, and what is a tribe? How many people make up a tribe, and what is the purpose of a tribe? Well, it was the offspring of the 12 patriarchs. And the number of the tribe is however many offspring they had. They became, as God promised to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant, as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. So there is a lot of them in each tribe, but there are 12 tribes, okay? Each of the patriarchs. And Kim from North Carolina. I've been studying with you, okay, I see what time, and I really appreciate it. My question, I have never heard anyone teach against the rapture like you do. My grandfather was was a reverend. I will just leave it there. A good and a decent man. My points, can you please point me to other teachers or books that teach against the rapture like you do? Oh, I sure can. It's right here. It's the Word of God. God makes it very clear that the word rapture is not even in the Bible. And, you know, children can read. And when you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, at verses 13 and 14, you pick up the subject of what's being discussed and what man changes into rapture. What he says is, if you believe Christ rose from the dead, and you better, or you're not even a Christian, then you better believe all the people, like your father, that have passed on, have risen also. They're not out here in some hole in the ground. They're already gone. You can't prevent them. We who are alive cannot precede them. Why? They're already gone. They're out of here. And then at the seventh trump, the last trump, farthest one out, we are all changed into the air, is not the atmosphere, breath of life, spiritual body, to be with the Lord. Why? He's coming here. Now, just because people teach rapture doesn't mean they're going to hell. Okay? And many people are deceived by it. That's true. But it is a dangerous thing whereby maybe it wasn't in the past. It is now because Satan's coming, and that's his message. Excuse me, I've come to fly you out. A lot of people's going to jump on his wagon thinking it is Christ come to rapture them. How many other teachers are teaching that? I have no idea, and it doesn't matter. It's what God's Word teaches, not what man teaches, that counts. You've got to read it for yourself. One good thing you might do is, if it isn't in God's Word, you probably shouldn't believe it. So find for me the word rapture written in God's Word. You won't find it. It isn't there. Esther from West Virginia, thank you for teaching God's letter to us with understanding. I want to know about staying in church where some believes this rapture. How do we open their eyes to the truth? Well, be sure and don't cast your pearls before swine. And I'm not being disrespectful to that church. I'm saying you can find a much more fertile ground than a church to teach truth. If you feel led, then let God lead you. But I always say, if you're a guest in a church, don't try to destroy it. Be gentle. There may be one person there that will question you, and you're able to help. As far as the whole church, I never tell someone where they should go to church and where they shouldn't. Why? I believe God leads His elect. He directs them. And you have an unction that you must do what you must do. Always, there's one thing for sure, always pick the right path. That is the chosen of the true Christ, not the fake. Mary from Missouri. My question is, am I wrong to not let people that don't know God run over me? And I feel I keep telling them I'm sorry for something that I feel I haven't done wrong. Did I hear you say that there comes a time when you have to stand up for what you think is right? Well, you always have to stand for truth and right. Why would you apologize for something you didn't do? You didn't do wrong. Why would you apologize for it? You would rather approach the broach the subject with the fact you explain where you did wrong, because what you believe you did right. But God's children are first-class citizens. We're not second-class citizens. We don't let people push us around. We take ground. We don't give it up. If you allow it, Satan will take you over. Satan will always have his little niche there that will find something to ratchet jaw about, okay? That has nothing to do with teaching God's Word or being in the Word. So always stay strong. Don't let people push you around, okay? Stay in the Word, and it's easy. If it's too much of a troublemaker, you don't have to go around them. Certainly don't apologize to them. Karen, for something you didn't do, make a stand for what is right. And that doesn't mean we have to fight. It just means we do what's right. End of story. God always blesses you for that. Karen from Kentucky. My mother was murdered when we were children. My father remarried a woman who is a psychic and a palm reader. I do still keep in touch with her. She is getting old now. She brought me my first Bible. Is it okay for me to still be kind to her? She may be saved by my witnessing to her. That's absolutely true. Of course you should be kind to her. You know, many times people, she may not mean what you think she means, and if she brought you a Bible, that kind of says to me she wanted you to go the right path. So yes, by all means. Shirley from California, my sister has been watching you for some time, and she heeds to your word. We were raised a certain church. I don't like to mention church names, but we never attended church regularly, so we didn't before in study of God daily or even weekly. I started watching your program as well as I am learning from you, but please explain this to me because I can't get past it. As you saying that Eve had Satan actually produced Cain, and are you talking in the metaphor? No, that Christ said it. I teach it because it's in the Word of God. God makes it very clear, and He was very upset in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, with the serpent seed. That means His offspring. And in chapter 4, verse 1 of Genesis, Eve delivered Cain. And then in verse 2, in the Hebrew manuscripts, it says, not again, but she continued in labor and gave birth to Abel. They were twins, but by separate fathers. And Jesus Himself teaches who the father of Cain was in John, St. John, chapter 8, verse 44. Cain, the first murderer, who was of his father the devil. That does not mean just simply that he was evil. That word seed is sperma in the Greek. Male sperma, to be exact. So God's Word teaches it. Jesus Himself taught it again in Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 35, concerning the tares and who planted them. The devil did. That was the first murder, Cain. Okay, we got, I'm trying to find a name, Emily from Colorado. Thank you for your teaching, okay? I'm a Christian and my husband is a Muslim. And we love watching your program together, and I can see a change in his views on our faith because the truth will set you free. My question is, the number 144,000, Revelation 7, 4, a critical number? Will there be other people that aren't fooled? Absolutely. You know, all this is doing is picking the elect, all right? Meaning they have to have the seal, the truth in their forehead. But in that same seventh chapter, read the ninth verse. In the ninth verse, there are so many already there at this time that you can't even count them, that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, meaning they were after Christ was crucified. And we're set free. Good to have you with us. Regards to you and your husband. Sharon from Illinois. Greatly enjoy your program. Watch it every day. I have two questions. In Isaiah 14, the Bible says Satan will be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Why the sides of the pit? Well, it means he's hanging. He's trying. How did Cain's progeny come through the flood? Who did Christ say take aboard the ark? Take two of every flesh. Cain and his offspring were flesh. So he had to take two of them aboard. Okay? And why? They had a purpose. It's the negative part, but it is a test of God's children. Carol from Arizona. Where in God's Word is it wrong to be cremated? Nowhere. All God says is in Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7 is when you die, the silver cord parts, your body goes back to dirt. It doesn't matter how it gets there, through ashes, through just simple decay, because you have a spiritual body, your true body that dwells within this instantly returns to the Father that gave it. Okay, there's nothing wrong with cremation. And in these hard times, many times for senior citizens, it is a good way to go. Because instantly, when the silver cord parts, you're back with the Father anyway. We're rid of these old bodies that get old and wrinkled and diseased and sick. And you have a perfect body. This is why anytime an angel appears, it says it's a young person. It's only young. We're all the same age. All souls were created at the same time. It's just that in spiritual bodies, you neither age, and age means nothing to a spiritual body. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. Hey, makes His day. And when you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. And you bless Him. He will always, I do mean always, bless you. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, then you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? When you bless God, He does bless you. There's one thing, though, that's far more important in your life, and it's this. You listen good. You stay in His Word. Every day, and I do mean every day, is a good day when you do that, even with troubles. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on